on Chaf Hey Amir Aleph. The Mishnah says, Shluchei Mitzvah Peturin Min HaSukkah. Those who are on their way to do a mitzvah do not have to sit in the sukkah when they eat. Big chiddush. You would think maybe why would that be different? But we'll see in the Gemara why. It's kind of interesting, but the Mishnah is not giving us a rule which is germane only to Sukkah. This is a general rule which we just happen to be applying to Sukkah, as we'll see soon. The Gemara then says, the Mishnah says, Cholin, people who are sick, Umisham Shehen, and those who are helping those who are sick, are also Peturim min HaSukkah. Okay, Ochlin v'shosin harayichos HaSukkah. And then anybody, not just someone who's doing a mitzvah or someone who's sick, anyone who is eating and drinking arai. How do they translate arai? Temporary?
Casually,
that's a good word. Casually eating and drinking. So, depends what you casually eat and drink, right? I could eat a four-course meal casually, but obviously it's not talking about that. It's talking about the types of foods that you have.
What if I'm like leaning back, on a gazebo and doing it?
Exactly. I have a steak, on a stick, walking down the street. Does that mean casual? I guess steak you don't have to eat in sukkah technically, but bread would probably be the main issue here. But let's see the Gemara, and that's also a brachos issue. You can't eat bread casually because then where are you going to bench? Right. So there are ways to get around it, but generally that's always an issue. So the Gemara says mina hanimili. How do you know? Now it's interesting. The Gemara just says mina hanimili. How do you know that presumably what it means is shluchei mitzvah are petur min hasukkah? But if you were to look, let me see. Rashi doesn't say it even. But as you'll see, the Gemara is not going to answer that question. They're going to answer the question of how do you know the concept of osik b'mitzvah patur min hamitzvah? If you're in the middle of doing one mitzvah, so then you don't have to go do another mitzvah. This is something that applies, all year round. So the Gemara says, D'tan Rabban and the rabbis learned, that's how they became rabbis. This is why I brought it up yesterday's shir. B'shiftecha b'vesecha, it says in Shema, that you should read the Shema or learn the Torah when you're sitting in your house. Prad l'osek b'mitzvah. If you're sitting in your house, so then you're doing nothing, meaning it's you're just hanging out. When you're hanging out, so then you have to do mitzvos. But if you are in the middle of a mitzvah, not just sitting in your house, so then you don't have to do mitzvos, other mitzvos. But then the pasuk says, u'belechtecha v'aderech, and when you're walking on the way, you still have to say Kriya Shema. So prat prat l'chasan, to the exclusion of a chasan, which we'll see soon, is not the same reason, not just because he's busy doing another mitzvah, because it's not necessarily clear that a chasan is doing a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of getting married? Not very clear. There may be a mitzvah based on the Gemara and Yivamos about getting married, but generally we assume that marriage is what we call a hechsher mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that prepares you to do, it's an action that prepares you to do the mitzvah of procreation, of pru revu. Now that has its own halachic significance too, which may or may not be why we stand up for a chasan and kala when they're walking down the aisle. But the point is that the reason the chasan doesn't have to say Kriya Shema, which by the way we don't paskin like anymore, Tosos tells us maybe back times of the Gemara, you were absolved from saying Kriya Shema because you needed to have really good kavana, and back then everybody always had really good kavana. Nowadays, if you were to say, oh, I need, I have such good kavana, I can't do it because I'm a chassan, so then we say, oh, you're just being haughty. No one has that kind of kavana anymore. I don't know if people had the patience to wait around until we started Devil's Arithmetic, that movie on Tisha B'Av. But there's this scene where she goes back in time into the 40s in wherever it was, Holland or something, and the character that she like morphs into is coming from like the big metropolis, and she's going to the little shtetl. So these other girls ask her, "Have you ever been to like a moving picture or something?" She says, "Yeah, like twice a week or something." And she's like, "Yeah, no, you don't say that. That doesn't make any sense." So it reminded me of the scene in Back to the Future. If you remember the scene in Back to the Future where he goes to the 50s or something, and they're like fidgeting with the television set. And he says, "Do you have one of these in your house?" He says, "Yeah, we've got two of them." He says, "Don't be silly. No one has two television sets, right?" So same thing here. It's kind of like, who are you kidding? You don't need that much kavana, right? So nowadays, the chassan, even at your wedding, and this is, by the way, I had like Rabbanim come over to me during my wedding and tell me, like, don't forget to say Kriya Shema. Like, don't forget to daven Maariv. Like, you're not absolved from davening Maariv still. But it used to be in times of the Gemara that they would have a lot of kavanah when they davened. Maybe more kavanah than we have, a lot of kavanah. A little more kavanah than when they davened. So then they were getting married, and they were so distracted by what they were doing, so they couldn't have proper kavanah to say Kriya Shema. Nowadays, so who are you kidding? No one has that kind of kavanah, right? No one has two television sets, right? No one has that kind of kavanah. So you have to say Kriya Shema.
With Peshitta Kavaneh, what about it would be Pratla?
So that's how I had mentioned it before. Peshitta Kavaneh, when you're just hanging around.
Right.
When you're relaxing in your house.
But when you're relaxing in your house, there's mitzvahs to do there as well. In other words, I get that.
No, but then you wouldn't be called just. It wouldn't you if you were looking at that person. This is how I'm saying it. I don't know if this is how other people say it. But if you were looking at that person and saying, "What is that person doing?" Oh, he's just sitting in his house. But if he's doing something which is a mitzvah, so you wouldn't clarify. You wouldn't. Identify him as just sitting around the house. So that's,
it's,
I think,
just
identification, yeah. So. When you're just sitting in your house and not doing anything else, so that's when you have to do. That's when you have to say Kriya Shema. But if you're actually doing something else which is important, so you don't have to say Kriya Shema. So really, this drasha, the way that the Rabbanon are quoting it here, is really teaching us two things. Number one, if you are, and this is not necessarily obvious at this point in the Gemara, but the Gemara is going to get to this. Number one, osug mitzvah patur min mitzvah. And number two, if you're tarud, that's the phrase, tarud meaning you're distracted in your thoughts, so then you don't have to do the Dama mitzvah, which requires kavana. So Gemara says, mikan amru hakonis es habasula patur es halmana chayev. This is, and you know, a sort of a weird thing to talk about in the Gemara, but what it's basically saying is that when you are getting married to a girl for the first time, so then you're more distracted about your eventual cohabitation, your relations, right? You're all, the anxiety and anticipation for being together is distracting you, but it's an almana. So it's not her first time. Maybe it's not your first time, and therefore it's not as distracting. Okay, kind of interesting that psychological insight from the Gemara. But my mashma. So what is there to say about being also b'mitzvah here? That's talking about Kriya Shema. So Amar Rav Huna kiderech. This pasuk also teaches us the word kiderech is very important. Uvelechtecha baderech. What does that mean? Ma derech rishus afkol rishus. Anytime you're on the way, meaning you're just going around, you're going along the way, but that implies that you just happen to be doing something. You're just going somewhere, just stam. Afkorishus, also any other kind of voluntary, leisurely stroll that you're doing, leisurely activity. Lafuke hai to the mitzvah asuk, to the exclusion of someone else who's in the middle of a mitzvah. He's not just strolling along, but he's actually doing something important, and therefore, he doesn't have to do other mitzvahs. So Gemara says, wait a second, milu askanin t'kazal t'var mitzvah v'kam rachman alikri. How do you know that the word derech, this is sort of related to how Steve was asking about b'shivtcha b'vesecha, how do you know the word derech is teaching us that you're on the way to do something voluntary? Maybe it's you're on the way to do a mitzvah. Who knows? Who's to say that the Torah means this and not that? So Im Kain says, the Gemara, lema kra b'sheves ubalechas. If the Torah really wanted to be all inclusive of all types of sittings and all types of walkings, it should have said shevet and lechet. My shiftecha uvelechtecha belechas didachu demechayavta demechayaves demechayavt ha belechas demitzvah petiras, meaning that the words b'shiftecha belechtecha mean you're doing something for you, right? Like we say by Avram Avinu, lech lecha. Hashem says, "Lahanascha l'tavascha." It's for you. Whatever you're doing now is for you to do it. It's going to be beneficial for you. If, however, it was a mitzvah, so it would be beneficial because it wouldn't be beneficial in terms of your own personal desires, but it would be beneficial in terms of the mitzvah that you're doing, and therefore it wouldn't be called b'shivtecha uvelechtecha. The fact that it is b'shivtecha uvelechtecha, it's your going, it's your sitting. So that means that any other types of sitting and going, which is mitzvah oriented, is not obligated in saying Shema. So Gemara says, "Ihachi." If that's true, I feel konis almana nami. So too, when you are marrying an almana, let's say that they're involved in the mitzvah too, and therefore shouldn't be obligated in saying Kriya Shema. So Gemara says, "No, konis habesula tarid, konis almana lo tarid." Kriya Shema, and this sounds like they're shifting gears. Right, the question itself sounded like a question of osek b'mitzvah. Now it's called what we were saying is tarud. Tarud is something where you're just distracted. You're more distracted when you're marrying a virgin than when you're marrying a widower.
Here it says, there's explanation that he's concerned that he may discover that she's not a virgin. That's why he is more concerned.
Ah, interesting.
By a virgin.
That's an interesting shot. Is that like a second understanding that they're giving, or is that the primary reason that they say?
Yeah, you know how it's the dark part
right.
words, and then it explains it. So.
That's what Amai says. Amai says, "Tarud machshavto b'mitzvas nisuin." Let me see Rashi.
Yeah, but he'd be concerned with that. With him, it's just.
Right, well, that was the question.
Right.
So then the answer is, Vesula Tarid.
He has
even in the answer, he's Tarid, he's distracted only because of the mitzvah with a virgin.
No, so here it's saying it is the concern, it's not the mitzvah that's concerned.
Right, that's what I'm saying. My Gemara doesn't say that. Rashi says, Tarid, libo Tarid b'machsheves be'ila.
Right,
Rashi doesn't.
What you think? He says that he's not going to be able to perform the task. That's what he's worried about.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily about her virginity. Yeah. So the Gemara then says, "V'chol hecha detarid hachanami depater." Is it really true? Is the question. Is it really true that anybody who's distracted is not obligated in saying Shema? El me'ata tavas vinasa bayam detarid hachanami depater. Someone's boat is sinking in the sea, so maybe we should say that he is also not obligated. V'chi teme hachanami. If you're going to tell me, yeah, that's true, that is the halacha. V'hama Rabbi Abba bar Zavta amarav ava chay v'chovel. Someone who's mourning is chay v'chol mitzvah samur b'torah. A person who is in mourning has to do all the mitzvahs of the Torah except for tefillin. We talked about this a couple weeks ago by Shabbos right before Tisha B'Av. Chutz mitzvah shaharei ne'amar ben pa'er, because the pasuk says that the pasuk referring to tefillin presumably says that it's a splendor. It's some kind of we had said in that shir. It's unclear what the pa'er is. Either him or for the tefillin. But either way, so it says over there that the avel has to say Shema, even though he's pretty distracted. The Gemara says, no, hacha tarid tirda de mitzvah, hasam tarid tirda durshas. In the case of the boat sinking in the water, it might be that you're distracted, but you've got to overcome that, right? Because that's just a boat. It's not something that Hashem told you to do. And therefore, you have to overcome your distraction. Not always easy. Maybe you would think otherwise in terms of the drashas here, but that's how we come out halacha. But when it comes to getting married, so then you're osik b'mitzvah. You're doing something, or you're distracted by a mitzvah. At least it's a divinely justified distraction.
Well, as, and then voluntary distraction simply is not acceptable, even if he can't overcome it.
But it's not justified. Yeah,
it's not justified, but it's not because he can force himself to overcome it. It's even if he doesn't, a mitzvah is an acceptable distraction. Voluntary is just not. He can be totally distracted. He can't concentrate on Kriya Shema, but that's not an excuse.
Right. I'm saying it's not justified. Yeah. It's not a justified excuse. The house of mitzvah, part of the mitzvah,
thinking boat is not voluntary.
Well, you're right. I mean, Steve used the word voluntary, but I think he meant to use the word. Non-compelled.
No, the reason I use voluntary is because that's what it translates in.
Yeah. Well, the word rishus generally is translated as voluntary, but what it means is not that you're choosing to do something, but rather that it's not something that Hashem commanded you. Meaning
you're trying to save the boat, not just saving your life.
It's just the boat that's going down. You're sitting on the dry land, fine and dandy.
If it was himself.
If you're in trouble, obviously you don't have to do anything. Is that really true that we get it from the psukim of Shema? One could have asked the question, what Kriya Shema is actually referring to there. Might be referring to actually saying Shema, as the Gemara in Brachos uses it for. So maybe that's not necessarily a good source for Osek Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. Again, this is the first time we've been using that phrase. because the Gemara never actually said, when he said Minahani Mili, it didn't say what he's asking for. But either way, so Mihacha Nafka, Mihasim Nafka, we have a different source for Osu Mispatu Minasu. What's the source? The Tani the Raisa says, Vahi Anashim Ashahayu Tmeim Nafash Adam, Osam Anashim Mihayu. Who are those people that weren't able to do Karban Pesach the first time around? They had to do Pesach Sheni. So says the Gemara, No se Arono Shel Yosef Hayu. Dear Rabbi Yosef Adlili. Anyone want to try to fit this in the parsha yesterday? Anybody? I quoted the Rashi that brings this concept up in the early minyan. So only Steve is required. But Rashi says, Kol ha maschil b'mitzvah gomra. Anyone who starts a mitzvah should finish it. How do we know? So he says, later on in Navi, it ascribes the burial of Yosef's bones in Eretz Yisrael to Bnei Yisrael. That's what it's like, Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi says, why isn't it ascribed to Moshe? Moshe is the one that took him out of Egypt. Well, because he's the one that didn't finish it. Right? The people finished it. So here too, you find that
the problem with this is, so this is not the first Pesach leaving Egypt. This is obviously the second Pesach, maybe?
A month later, while they're starting in the desert.
So they'd still be Tamei. What did they do? Give somebody else the job? Or?
Well, what we're going to see in the Gemara is basically that they had a mikvah. I don't know exactly how they became Tahor, but they could have become Tahor before Pesach. That's what we're going to say.
And so what's it in the first Pesach and the second Pesach?
Because they could have become Tahor in the middle. They could have become
Tahor before the first
Pesach. No, they were in Egypt at that point. They didn't have, the resources to do such a
thing. No, it's got to be the second Pesach, not the first Pesach.
Why?
Does Pesach Sheni take place before Shavuot, before the giving of before Matan Torah?
You're right. It's probably the second Pesach. So then it could have happened before. Why didn't it happen before?
Plus, we have a custom that I don't know whether they had in those days that you don't leave a coffin.
No, that's right. So that's what it's saying. Somebody had to be tummy.
So did they switch off? I mean, what does...
Even if they switch off, someone ultimately had.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on. It might have been when they erected the Mishkan. The Mishkan might have been the determining factor there. Meaning they couldn't make them Tahor until they had maybe the Paraduma.
No, but then it wouldn't say that it had to do with the Karban Pesach.
No, the timing worked out. The Mishkan was erected on the 1st of Nisan. Wasn't it?
No, so that's what? Aren't we saying...
So they didn't get around to doing the Paraduma until after Pesach. That's maybe. I don't actually know, but I'm saying that could be what we're talking about. There's a whole Tosos here about what exactly is going on here. There are other issues with it.
No, but even if they had the remedy, they couldn't be Tahar because they were still Osik with the Aron.
Oh, well, that's what the Gemara is going to say. That's what we're about to say. Rabbi Kiva Ome, Mishav al Tzafan Hayu, Shayoskim b'din Nadav Aviyu. So who are these people? Number one, it could have been the people who were carrying Yosef's bones. Number two, it could have been the people that were involved with Nadav and Aviyu.
That timing
works out better because obviously that happens only after the Mishkan is erected. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Im Nosei Arono, Shall Yosef hayu kvar hayu chol nitar? They should have become tar before. Imishav atzafan hayu yichol hayu tar. Like David is saying, they should have said they should have been able to become tar already. Ella oskim b'meis mitzvah hayu. They were involved with the kvura already. Shechal shvish lehen lios be'ar pesach. Now we're v'leich lasos pesach b'yom hahu. Hayom hahu ein yichol lasos ha l'machar yichol lasos. They could have done after. How could they do it afterwards? I don't know. Maybe they were going to switch off. The people that already did the Karban Pesach on the Pesach Rishon would stop, and they would take care of the bodies while they would do the whole process.
So we're saying that they were a putter from the mitzvah altogether.
Yeah, well, for Pesach Rishon.
For Pesach Rishon, right. So you always had a scenario: someone has to be with the bones of Yosef.
Right. That's the point. But you could switch off.
Pesach Sheni, they switch off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Good. So that's another source of Osek Mitzvah Patumim Mitzvah. So why do we have two sources? One source is teaching us from those who carry, who couldn't do Pesach Rishon in the Midbar. And the second source, or the first source that we said was, so why do we need both? So Gemara says, we need both of them. The Iyash, Me'inan, Hasam, if you're going to learn only from the people of the Ratami Meis, Mishum Tolo Mata Zman Chiyuva the Pesach. At the time that they were looking to become Tahor, they had not yet become the mitzvah yet. The mitzvah of Karim Pesach didn't yet happen, and therefore maybe you would think that it's a little bit of a different situation. I'm not exactly sure how that logic carries out, but maybe it's because at the time when the actual mitzvah of Pesach happened, they were never introduced. That's a better word for that.
Well, they weren't doing the mitzvah of burial on Pesach. They were doing it before Pesach.
Right. Well, they weren't burying anybody, but they were involved with the body, which is this elf.
With the mace.
Yeah, they were already involved with the mitzvah from beforehand. When the mitzvah kicked in, they were already not relevant for the mitzvah. I think that's what it's saying here.
Right.
But here, when it comes to doing Kriya Shema, so it could have been that they could have said Shema beforehand. I assume that's what it means. Because you're not getting married right at the beginning of Shkia. You're getting married, or it says, you're getting married a little bit afterwards, and therefore you could have said Kriya Shema beforehand. So maybe that's not the same thing. Maybe you would have to say Kriya Shema beforehand or afterwards, whatever. So Emelo, Tzricha, therefore both. V'yashmin and Hacha, and if you're going to say by Kriya Shema, Mishum Delaika Kares. Shema doesn't have the same level of Kares when you don't do it, as opposed to the Karim Pesach, which you would get Karis for not doing it. Maybe you would say that you could violate and leave one mitzvah in order to do another mitzvah if the other mitzvah is for Karis. We have this situation. We talked about this in Gemara's and Psachim Daf Nun Vav, famous, I think, Nun Vav from Tosfos. He said that the mitzvah, the hashlama of the Karbanos, was overridden by the mitzvah of doing Karim Pesach. So the Gemara then said, okay, good. By the way, the Ritva goes a step further than the Gemara. The Ritva says, Osek b'mitzvah is not just patur min ha-mitzvah. It's not just that you're absolved, because that implies that you could if you wanted to. You don't have to do the other mitzvah, but you could go do it. Says Ritva, no, it doesn't mean that you just don't have to. It means that it's usher to. You can't degrade one mitzvah that you're involved in order to go do another mitzvah. Meaning it's more of a problem of the disgrace of one mitzvah, not about whether or not you're obligated. So the Ritva actually goes further than this. I want to say he gets that from Yerushalmi.
Don't
yeah.
say that if he can do both, he should?
Oh, so that depends. Oh, good. So that depends what osek means, right? There's a lot of discussion about this concept. Osek means you've got to be really involved in it. So, for instance, I think there's a Gemara about Pruta de Rebbe Tarfon or something. I can't remember the Gemara. It was a long time ago that he's like in the middle of giving tzedakah, and the Gemara talks about like, can you do something else at the same time? So it comes up in other contexts. Where else does it come up? I don't remember. I know this Gemara comes up in Tanis.
I know it's the tzedakah one because it seems pretty mundane. It's
right, like, right. It might be in the beginning of Ksubas. It might be the one I'm talking about. Either way. So Gufa, let's go back for a second. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav Avel Chayev B'chol Mitzvah Samos B'torchus Min Tefillin Sherin Amar Pe'er. You don't have to wear tefillin as a mourner. What does that mean? Mida Amar Le Rachmana Li Yechezkel. Interesting that Hashem is called Rachmana. Usually Rachmana means the Torah, but it's the same thing. Rachmana Li Yechezkel Pe'er Chachav Sholecha At Hu D'mechayavt. You're the one who has to wear tefillin, but everybody else is patur. Why is everyone else patur, David? What's going on at Tamzi Yecheskel here? What does that mean? Atu the Mechayev.
Those commanded to refrain from mourning for his wife in the manner that others do.
About Kuli Alma in the same situation. It doesn't mean that everybody else doesn't wear tefillin. I thought it meant like everybody else is in mourning or whatever. I think what it means is everyone else who would be in your situation, right. Like if their wife died or whatever, so then they would have to, they would not have to wear tefillin.
Right.
So that was the situation of Yechezkel. Yechezkel's wife died.
He was commanded to refrain from mourning for his wife in the manner that others do.
Right. I guess because he was a leader of the Jewish people.
I don't remember. I've been through all three Sefer Yecheskel, and I just don't remember.
Hold on. See, it's...
Right, so it was an exception.
Obviously it's an exception. Not sure. I don't know why though. So either way, v'hani mil biyom harishon. If you remember, we said this in Gemara earlier.
Maybe as the navi.
Yeah.
The navi. That's I figured. As an element of.
Well, kind of like.
That's what I meant. Well, I know I didn't say that drasha, but I meant like he has to represent like Aaron. Right, similar thing. If you remember the Gemara we talked about in Moed Katan, about whether or not this applies to the first day, other days, whatever. So Hanim Yil B'Yom Rishon, because the Pasuk of Acharisa Kiyomar, I don't really make a drasha from that Pasuk. Afterwards, it's just bitter. I don't know. Okay. V'Yom Rabbi Abba Barz Abda Amar Rab Abel Chai B'Sukkah. A mourner has to go in the sukkah. Pshita, why would you say otherwise? It's just said he's Chai and everything except for Tefillin. So Ma'od Tehim Behova Amar Rava Mitzdara Patr Menat Sukkah. Someone who's uncomfortable to go in the sukkah, so they don't have to go. They don't have to. So Hainami Mitzdara, who maybe this person is also Mitzdara. So Kamash Milan Hani Mili Tzara De Memela. That's only if something is coming from the actual sukkah, meaning being outside in the sukkah is uncomfortable for you. Aval Hacha Ihu To Come Mitzdara Nafshe. I'm understanding this to be psychologically he's uncomfortable, but just generally in life, going inside is not going to help him. Right, going inside is not something that's going to necessarily take away that psychological discomfort. The fact that he's in a sukkah and maybe it's raining and maybe there are bugs, whatever, that could be a mitzvah issue, because that's coming from being in the sukkah. Going inside will help that. But here, because to come mitzvah nafshe, he's the one that's sort of psychologically doing it to himself. He has to somehow overcome that. The chassan and let's call them his best men. I don't know how they translate. How do they translate Shushbinin?
Groomsmen.
Okay, there you go. That's not bad. Groomsmen, Kol B'nei HaChuppa, and everyone else who is B'nei HaChuppa. I assume this means the family.
The wedding party. Everyone involved with the wedding.
Anyone who's the wedding planner, presumably the father and the mother. So they're all Pater, Peturin, Min HaSukkah, Kol Shiva. This is interesting, by the way, because you're not allowed to get married on Sukkahs. Presumably, we're talking about getting married on Erev Sukkot. They used to get married on Erev Shabbos to combine the meals. We've talked about that before. So maybe they got married on Erev Sukkot, and they combined the mitzvah of the meal for their wedding and the mitzvah of Sukkot. So therefore, Kol Shiva. That's how you could sort of get to 7 days. So well, my time.
Here that at that time, the groomsmen were very involved with preparing every aspect of it. So it was a longer term.
Right, and it was a more. They were more involved. Yeah, exactly. The Sheva Brachos also. My time, Mishum Devo Lemechti. Because they have to make him, happy. They're supposed to be mesameh chas and metal for all 7 days. So I said, wait a second, why can't we do both? Like Steve is saying, v'lech l'basukah, v'lech l'basukah. Let's have the party in the sukkah, right? Make him happy in the sukkah. So Gemara, no, ain simcha al b'chuppah. The only time you can have simcha is at the special place where they designated. Chuppah here doesn't necessarily mean just the literal canopy they get married in, but the place in which they celebrate it.
But the fact is, we don't do this today. We have Sheva Brachas here. We have Sheva.
Yeah,
brachas.
We have caterers. We have volunteers who aren't involved as much that can do it for us. Yeah, exactly. It's a different world. We're living in a different world.
We don't all sit, you know.
Right.
People tend not to have any Sheva Brachas in their own home.
Right. Right. So why don't you eat in the sukkah and go have a good time in the chuppah, wherever that is. So Nogamar says, Ein simcha el makom suda. You can only really enjoy when you're having a gezunta meal with it, right? If you're not having a meal, so then what's the fun in that? So Gemara says, okay, fine. V'lei avdu chuppah b'sukkah. So they make the chuppah, which does not mean a covered canopy, otherwise, as we've talked about before, that wouldn't be good in the sukkah anyway. But rather it means make the chuppah, the place in which they're celebrating, make that in the sukkah.
So, I'm surprised that there's nobody says, the Gemara says that they must spend all 7 days and have all their meals in their
home or something. Yeah.
So therefore, none of this, you know.
No, that's where they're getting at. But the question is, why is that? Yeah.
Well, how, like a Shiva is so that they don't have to distract themselves by having to leave the place. You'd think that Shoah wrote.
Okay, there could be something like that.
Sounds similar.
So why can't they do it in the sukkah? So two possibilities. Abai Amar Mishum Yichud. The problem is that people are going to come in, going in and out. So then maybe the chassan is going to go away for a second, and then the guests are going to be there in the sukkah by themselves with the kala, which is not allowed. That's yichud. Unclear exactly how that could happen. There apparently was some kind of minhag back then to do it on a rooftop, in which case it was, you know, not as much of a, you know, a thoroughfare. It wasn't a revolving door, people coming in and out. So maybe there wouldn't be that many people, whatever. V'rava Amar Mishum Tzar Chassan, and because the Chassan wants to be alone with his kala, that's what makes him happy in that time. And therefore, if it's in a sukkah, which might be open to the public, so he'll never have any privacy. So my binayah, what's the difference between these two opinions? Or what's a nafkamina ikarayu? Tishchechi inshi denafki v'aylo hasam. When you're in a place where there's a lot of people coming in and out, you're in a thoroughfare, maybe you're right off of the street. L'man da'amr mishum yichud leka. There's no problem, there's not going to be any yichud. L'man da'amr mishum tzar chasan. Yika, it's still lacking privacy. Amr Rabbi Zera, ana achli m'sukkah v'chari b'chuppah. I used to eat in the sukkah and have my enjoyment in the chuppah. The kol shekein dechadi libay dekaavidna tarti. For Rabbi Zera, I was even happier than anybody else because that meant I got to do a mitzvah and be mesameach hasam kala. I was able to enjoy also.
So I was wondering before when we said you can't have the simchas chuppah in a sukkah, but sukkah is simcha is man's.
Yeah, I'm bothered by the fact that it doesn't say in ma'arv and simcha b'simcha.
Yeah, so that's what you can get at.
Why isn't there a problem of mixing these simchas?
Right, he can do both in the same place.
You can't get married on sukkahs because of in ma'arv and simcha, right. But you could sell the Gemara implies that you can celebrate the whole thing inside of the sukkah. I don't know how that's possible. Yeah. Maybe there's some kind of discussion about that. I don't know.
You know, there is. I mean, we are allowed to. I mean, we're not forbidden from getting married out of Sukkot or two or three
right,
days.
There's before, no simcha then.
Before Sukkot. But I mean, the implication, since the 7 days goes into the Yom Tov, and the same is true with Pesach, since right. the implication seems to be that the after the wedding itself.
Right. Yeah, right. That must be the answer. That must be what's going on because there's
like
a less.
7 days for Shabbat, it stops.
What?
Sure, like somebody, yeah. You don't go into Yontif.
Not for Yontif, yeah.
Right, I was wondering.
No, it doesn't stop like that for Yontif, no. That's because Yontif is a particularly joyous time. This is because you're joining two joyous things.
It's
not
a lower level.
It must be like a lower level, yeah. It's just interesting that we group it all together in terms of the Pator from Sukkah. It doesn't matter if it's the day of or it's the next 7 days. It's still a Pator. It doesn't matter how much Simcha there is. It's more about what you're involved in. So either way, Tanur Rabbanan, Chasin Veshushbinin, Bechob Nechuppa, Patur Minat Tfila. They don't even have to daven, because davening requires Kavana. This most likely does not apply to nowadays. Umin HaTfilin, and from wearing Tfilin, because you have to have a certain seriousness. Vechayavin B'Kriya Shema. You can imagine what the kinds of preparations they must have been going through, that they can't even take enough time to put on Tfilin. That sounds crazy to me.
It's not the time, it's the
distraction, yeah, I get it. But you know, when you first get up in the morning, like what do you?
You're saying that as an absolute that nowadays it doesn't apply. But when I got married, I was told that it does apply. That you don't have to daven, say Kriya Shema, say Shmones, right? Yeah. The night of.
You were told wrong. I don't know who told you that, but that's not true.
I feel like it's
already in Tosfos says that. This is not a 2020 kula. This is from the 12th century.
I feel like people don't have such devoted friends anymore. Most friends would say,
yeah, now it's like,
enough.
I'll pay for it. I'll throw some money at you, but I'm not going to go. I'm not going to actually help you.
Every day, all day long, for 7 days.
Give it a break. You don't love each other that much.
Well, now a lot of people don't have all 7 days.
Right. Well, it depends. It's always good to have a break. I think I had a break. I think I had a Wednesday off, maybe. I don't remember. I might not have because we were in two different cities, so it was hard. V'chayav mekriya shema, and they're obligating kriya shema because mishum Rabbi Shila amru chasim patva hashashvinim chobin yachubu chayavim. But when it comes to kriya shema, specifically shema, you have to try a little harder to be mekayim that mitzvah daraisa. Interesting that it doesn't say that by tefillah. Tefillah presumably shmon esrei. There's machlokas whether or not shmon esrei is a mitzvah daraisa. Presumably, this is assuming that it's not. Otherwise, he would say the same type of thing.
Right.
I would think. Not sure. This says here only the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. I guess that's less onerous.
Only the first pasuk. What?
You only have to say the first pasuk. This chayavin. I guess that's a little more attainable. Okay, Shkar Chavosai, have a good week.